Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor. We glorify and be honored. Lift your hands one more time and just appreciate him. Honor him, adore him. Worship you. We honor you. In Jesus' precious name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Honor to your name. Be thou glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand. Shake hands with someone. Welcome them to God's presence as you take your seat in the presence. Welcome everyone to this preservation service, this first midweek service of the month of September, the ninth month. I pray in the name of Jesus that in this ninth month you will bring forth, you will deliver something that God wants you to bring forth. In the name of Jesus, every pregnancy that is due, I declare it is delivered. In Jesus' precious name. Every vision that is due, I declare delivery in Jesus' precious name. It's our month of reigning as kings by the force of wisdom. Wisdom makes, give the Lord the praise. Wisdom makes people reign. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 8, I believe it was in verse 16, it said, by me kings reign and princes. 15. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. Kings reign by wisdom. Princes decree justice by wisdom. So we are going to be reigning by the force of wisdom in the month of September. But tonight is a preservation service. So we shall be looking quickly at the subject wisdom for preservation. Wisdom for preservation. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and in verse 17. The Bible said, be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time? Our objective, of course, is to understand the way of wisdom for divine preservation. The way of wisdom for divine preservation. The scripture makes it clear that wisdom preserves life. Wisdom preserves life. Proverbs chapter 9 and in verse 6. It says, forsake the foolish and live. And go in the way of understanding. Forsake the foolish. Forsake foolishness and live. Embrace wisdom and live. Embrace foolishness and you are cut short before your time. The presence of wisdom brings life. It prolongs life. The absence of wisdom shortens life. Many have died before their time because of lack of wisdom. Please, no movement or running or anything like that. Ushers, right there. The presence of wisdom prolongs life. The absence of wisdom shortens life. Tonight, what wisdom ways, scriptural wisdom ways, should we embrace in order to prolong our lives? Number one is the wisdom of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. The wisdom of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Proverbs, Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. God is my bomb shelter. He is my missile shield. He is my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. If I live in God, I am living in a bomb shelter. I am living in a missile shield." Psalm 16 verse 9. Psalm 16 verse 9. The Bible said, okay, start from verse 8. "I have set the Lord always before me. I am settled in His presence. Because He is at my right hand. Because I am with Him, I am unmovable. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou will not leave my soul in hell." No matter what I'm passing through, You won't leave me there. "Neither will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life." You see that? As I have said, the Lord always before me. He connects me to the pathway of life. He causes me to escape the pathway of death. "For in Your presence is fullness of joy. And at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." So in the presence of God, I have life, I have joy, I have pleasure. So it is the wisdom of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. No matter what you do, don't let that thick presence of God leave you. That lady who testified just now about how so much hatred and things she passed through in life, she said she never felt the presence of God until she came to this place. And the presence of God she's feeling now is not just feeling that presence in church, but feeling it at home. The wisdom of dwelling in the secret place of the Lord. Number two is the wisdom of possessing God's word as shield for our lives. Possessing God's word as shield. In Psalm 91 and in verse 4, He said, "His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." The word of God is truth. His truth defends. The revelation of God's word is a defense. It shields our lives. Like that revelation that says, "A standing grain, I will not be harvested until it is time." It shields your life. In John chapter 6 and in verse 63, that was Job 5:26. In John chapter 6 verse 63, He said, "It is the spirit that quickeneth." That's the spirit maketh life. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So the word of God connects you to the life of God. It suffocates the death that the enemy wants you to die before your time. The word of God connects you to the life of God. The wisdom is a wisdom of possessing God's word as shield for life. Proverbs chapter 4 from verse 20. He said, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from the midst of you. Thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to their flesh." A daily diet of the word is daily life injection, daily life infusion. Daily connection to the word is daily infusion of life. It's daily resistance to the force of death, the forces of death. Daily connection to the word is daily infusion. Whether it is the studying of this raw word or listening to preached word that carries power and fire, it is daily injection of life and daily rejection of the forces of destruction and death. So we have the wisdom of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Number two is the wisdom of possessing God's word as shield. Whatever you do, remain in God's presence. And whatever you do, don't let days pass. Don't let even a day pass without the word entering your body, entering your spirit, entering your life. Number three is the wisdom of avoiding the wrong association. Many have been killed because of the wrong company. Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 20. Say, he that walketh with the wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Many have died other people's deaths. The death that killed them was not their death. They followed, they were in the company of someone and death caught them. Like the death that would have killed Jehoshaphat, Ahab's death, until God saved him. Amnon died because of a man called Jonadab, who gave him the wrong advice on how to rape his sister. He followed that advice and Absalom killed him. And he was alive to explain Absalom's death to his father. Am I communicating at all? Anybody whose principle is opposite yours is a trap. That is, you are following the right principles. You know God. You want to live for God. You want to serve God. But you have a so-called friend who is wondering while you are not smoking and drinking. Who is wondering why, when men are looking for you, you are not agreeing for them. When you can make much money by going with men. The person is wondering. And the person is challenging you. Why are you not taking bribe like others? Why are you not stealing like other people? The person is actually wondering why you are not doing so. And you still maintain such a person as a friend. You go places together. You organize, you attend parties together. That is a trap of life. It's a trap of destiny. Somebody say aloud, amen. Anyone not going your direction is not qualified for your association. Take your seat. Anyone not going your direction is not qualified for your association. Anyone who is not going to your destination is not qualified for your association. And so we have the wisdom of avoiding the wrong association. Don't manage company. Don't manage it. Deal wisely with associations. Whether it's male or female association, don't manage it. So you don't damage your life and you don't damage your destiny. Number four is the wisdom. Was that number four I just mentioned? Number three, we're going to number four. The wisdom of avoiding the wrong utterance. Your words can be a trap. Your words can lead to your life and your words can lead to your death. Proverbs 19:21. It says death and life. Sorry, 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. So what you are saying can contribute to your life. What you are saying can contribute to your death. The Living Bible Version has the way it says it. Those who love to talk will suffer the consequences. Men have died for saying the wrong thing. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 12 and in verse 18. It said there is there is one that speaketh like the piercings of the sword. There is a man's word who is killing him like the way you use a sword to kill a person. He said, but the tongue of the wise supplies him health, supplies him life. There is someone who is speaking like the way you use a knife to cut the neck of chicken or something. Piercing. Something like, oh no, I know I can't survive this. Oh no, I know in my family nobody lives beyond this kind of age. Oh no, I know, I've dreamt it was so bad. There are people I see talking, I say, oh, Pastor, I'm dying. You say, don't talk to them. They say, that's the fact, I am dying. There is nothing you can tell them to convince them otherwise. Now, the truth is, you can't speak death and experience life. Take your seat. You can't. Even scripture say, let the weak say, I am. That is, avoid saying you are weak. So you don't weaken the weakness. You don't multiply the weakness. Joel chapter 3 verse 10. Beat your swords into plowshares. Let the weak say, I am strong. Beat your plowshares into sword and pruning spokes into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. You don't confess your condition. You announce your revelation. You announce your expectation. You don't speak what you have. You speak what you want. You speak what you desire. It's a wisdom that many need. On the other hand, there are those who lied until the lie killed them. They told a lie unto death. That was what happened to the Amalekite young man, who claimed that he was the one who killed David. An Egyptian young man in 2 Samuel chapter 1. He killed Saul. He was telling David that he killed Saul. And it was a lie. That he found Saul on the mountains of Gilboa. And Saul was exhausted. And that Saul knew he was going to die. And Saul said he should kill him. And so, because he knew that Saul would not survive, he killed Saul. And then he brought Saul's crown, bracelets and all of that, and he had brought it to David, thinking that David will rejoice. David started crying first. Why are the mighty falling? He cried and cried and cried. When his eye cleared, he said, wait a minute, what did you just say? That you killed Saul. Your mouth say you killed Saul. You come kill him. Because he testified that he used his hand to kill the Lord's anointed. Why were you not afraid? That man died at the frequency of lying. There are people who have lied to their death. Somebody say loud amen. So those are two dimensions of it. The dimension of confessing negatively, speaking negatively all the time, and the dimension of untruth, the dimension of speaking evil, it kills. The wisdom of avoiding the wrong utterance. Number five is the wisdom of avoiding the trap of unrighteousness. The trap of unrighteousness. The trap of iniquity. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 8. So he that breaketh the hedge, the serpent will bite. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Don't be too much weak. Don't be over much wicked. You will die before your time. And Psalm 37. Verse 38 says, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. Transgressors. When you walk in unrighteousness, the God of your defense is aloof. The one who should fight the enemy is not there. The one who should fight the ancestral curses of your family, the generational powers, the witchcraft powers, who should fight arrows of wickedness, is off your territory. You are exposed. Exposed to danger, exposed to disaster, exposed to destruction. The righteous flee, the wicked flee when no man pursues. Your boldness of faith is gone. Is God speaking to anybody here today? For example, the practical example is when a young man decides to join cultism or the occult. That is a signature directly for death. Can be killed anytime. I heard a man said, while he was in the occult, before he gave his life to Christ, that particular occult, blood dealing occult, when you join it, they sing in a language that you don't understand as a newcomer. But after you have become a member, you will understand what they sang. And this is what they sang when they are inviting newcomers, receiving them like new converts. They say, what we have joined that we are trying to find how to get out of, and there is no way out. Is that what somebody is coming to join now? That is the reception song. That is the song that welcomes the new member, but he didn't hear it because he's a new member. Until he is a member, then he learns it. And then he realized this was what they said on his arrival. What we have entered, the trap we entered, this snare that we are trying to see how to come out of, there is no way out. Is that what somebody is interested in joining? But he understood the song too late. Even at arrival, he couldn't say. So it's a total trap. Ungodliness, lie, fraud, everything ungodly is to be avoided. It is wisdom for survival. Number 6 is the wisdom of paying attention to the leading and direction of the Spirit. The wisdom of paying attention to the leading and direction of the Spirit. The avoidance of direction is the acceptance of destruction. If God cannot give you direction, He cannot rescue you from destruction. Say, my people are destroyed. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. For lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of guidance, lack of direction, they are destroyed. Because what I want them to know, they don't know. You are about to embark upon a journey. You got somebody around you that is called a friend. You are about to step into a business and God is directing you contrary and you still continue. How many know that we live in a world where two people did a business together, profit was $1 million, they are to share $500 million each, and one person can decide to kill the other person just for $500,000 so he can keep all the profit. How many of you know that happens? And God is saying, even though there is money in the business, but it will lead to your death. This man looks handsome, or this girl looks beautiful, but it's a beautiful snake. A handsome dragon. This journey looks, everything looks okay. It's all expense paid. Everything is down and up. But the end of it is disaster. So direction. And how do we, what is the commonest way to know direction from God? Psalm 85 and in verse 8. He said, I will hear what the Lord, what God, the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace. The speakings of God are speakings of peace. God uses peace to lead. So, majority of the time, the abundance of peace is confirmation of direction. The absence of peace is a confirmation of movement in the wrong direction. Every step you take, you lose your peace. The more you go, the more you moved, you lost your peace. The more you moved, you lost your peace. Oh, may you never follow the direction of loss of peace. Some people have gone like sheep to the slaughter. All peace is lost. Conviction is lost. Everything is lost. They say, but I have to keep my word. Keep your word and lose your life. Is that what you want? What shall he profit a man who says, let me keep my word, and then at the end lost his life in an attempt to so-called keep the word? Am I communicating at all? A wedding that did not hold is better than a marriage that took your life. You didn't hear what I just said? The cards have already been printed. Everybody has already been informed. People have even traveled. But peace is zero. Dream is warfare. Every signal is upside down. Yet, still going like a sheep to the slaughter. One day, a young man called me on Friday night, that the wedding that is already scheduled for Saturday morning, he cannot go ahead. I said, why? He said, I have been dragging my feet to make it happen all this while. He said, peace is zero. He said, now, as it is, tomorrow is as if I'm about to die. I was so helpless. On one side, people have already traveled for the wedding from outside country. They are already on ground. On one side, must not, woman's heart will be broken. On the other side, nobody will live in the marriage with them. I said, why must you allow it to come to 24 hours before you know that you don't have peace? He said, I didn't want to appear like I was careless or heartless. I just wanted to make it what happened. But every single day was hell. He said, and as at now, I can't bear it. I said, do what you can defend before God. Just do anything you can defend before God. What you can, when you meet God, what you can answer. If he asks you the reason you have, the wedding couldn't hold because he felt he was going to die. You don't need it to reach that level. Because from 6 months away, you will have notice. Before you reach 3 months, you still have notice. Before it is 1 month, the notice is abundant. Not to talk of 1 week to the time. It doesn't have to reach 24 hours. Many people discard the guidance of God, the peace that passes understanding, to their detriment. If your life will be preserved, if your days must be fulfilled, protect your peace. Just protect your peace. Everything
that gives you peace, do it. Anything that causes you to lose your peace, avoid it. Including money. It doesn't matter how much money that business is bringing you. If you are losing your peace doing it, avoid it on time before it takes your life. It doesn't matter how much you are making from those trips. It doesn't matter how much of a billionaire the person is you are working with. If your peace is lost, run for your life. So that your life can be saved. Please take your seat. It's the wisdom of paying attention. See what the psalmist said in Psalm 23 and in verse 1 to verse 10. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And as far as he's leading me, he restores my soul. When I miss it, he pulls me back. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even in passages that look at them, provided he is with me, I can't be killed. You can pass through dangerous things. If God is guiding and leading you, you survive. But you may not pass through so much before you perish if God is not there. But you shall not perish. Can I hear a louder amen? You shall fulfill your days. The wisdom of paying attention to the leading and direction of the Spirit. In other words, the wisdom of following the peace of God. Following the peace of God. Following the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. But in everything with prayer, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart, shall guard your heart, shall assist your heart, underguard your heart, so that you know that you are doing the right thing or doing the wrong thing. Somebody say a loud amen. Number 7 is the wisdom of submission to prophetic covering. Prophetic covering. By a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet, was he preserved. God gives prophets for the covering of his people. The prophetic mantle is a preservation mantle. Hear that? The prophetic mantle is a preservation mantle. Prophetic covering means you are pastored, actively pastored. Prophetic mantle means you receive prophetic instructions and you take the instructions serious. Church, this is what to do. You take it serious. Church, this is steps to take in this season. You take it serious. You believe the declarations over your life. You believe the announcements over your life. Believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20b, so shall you prosper. Prosperity, preservation and prosperity are together. Somebody say a loud amen. This is very, very important. Everyone that was with David was preserved. They were covered. He said, with me you shall be in safeguard. Abide here with me. 2 Samuel, I think it was chapter 21, verse 22, thereabout. Abide with me. He who seeketh your life, seeketh my life, seeketh your life. He said, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard. He who seeketh, 22, 23, abide thou with me, fear not. For he that seeketh my life, seeketh thy life. Anybody looking for me is looking for you. Anybody looking for you is looking for me. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. Many, many examples abound. Look at the testimony of that girl. She says some demons were coming to oppress her, and she saw Dr. Miss Anenchi appeared, and they ran away. She didn't even say anything to them. They ran away first. And then she rescued her. We have thousands of such testimonies. Somebody say amen. God uses the voice of your prophet to talk to you. When I say that in the convention, somebody says, so
How does God speak to people who don't have any covering over their life? God can still speak to them, but the number of ways, which includes using their prophet, is eliminated. Am I communicating at all? God uses your prophetic mantle as your cover. When the forces arrive, they should see a mantle over your head. They should see a mantle over your head. They should see a mantle over your head. And I announce to someone here today, you are preserved. You shall not be cut short before your time.
You shall fulfill your days.
I deploy the prophetic and apostolic mantle of God upon my life and upon this commission. Against every spirit of premature death, every force of premature death, I declare they are arrested. You shall fulfill your days. It doesn't matter who died before their time in your village. You shall live and you shall fulfill your days. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. Take your seat 1 minute and I one more and then we are done. Number eight is the wisdom of walking in love. Songs of Solomon chapter 8 and in verse 6. He said, set me as a seal upon thine heart, a seal upon thine arm. For love is as strong as death. You can stop there. Love is as strong as death. Meaning that love has the capacity to withstand death. Love is equal to the task of death. Love can withstand death. Beyond that, God is love. And walking in love is walking in the life of God. A life that is not easily destroyable. Let me tell you, beloved, make love your practicality of living and the fulfillment of your days are guaranteed. Love. There is so much death in our world. Both people being killed and people dying for the issue of lovelessness. Lovelessness. Take your seat. Love. The love from your heart. The love that you sow as a seed. Did you hear what I just said? The love you sow as a seed arises as a harvest that withstand the death that wants to finish you. I'll give you two examples. Dorcas died. In Acts chapter 9. And the widows stood around Dorcas crying. In verse 39 and in verse 40. Peter was called. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. This one said, Peter, see this cloth that I am wearing. Dorcas gave it to me. See this trousers that my son is wearing. Dorcas made for her. See this dress that this baby is wearing. Dorcas made this dress for that baby. Peter, you should judge. Is that the person that should die? If she should die, what are all these wicked people alive for? If she is to die, what are all these wicked people living for? Living to do more wickedness? Living to perpetuate more wickedness? What is the benefit of the life of these wicked people? Here is a valuable people adding value to people's lives. Should she die? When Peter saw what they presented, even though he had come with a fire to jerk her back to life, he said, all of you, just wait for me outside so I can face this devil squarely. Long story made short, Dorcas came back to life.
And Peter put them all forth, kneeled down, prayed, and turning unto him, said, Tabitha, arise! Stand up, Dorcas! And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Love that you have sowed will rise up in times of need to withstand the forces of death. Am I communicating at all? What love that you planted, the feelings, the affections that you have released onto your world, onto your generation, the love in your heart, the love you have sown, the love you are sowing, the love you are living, rises up to fight the forces of hell. Even faith, the Bible says, faith worketh by love. Galatians chapter 5 and 6. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth nothing, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So even your faith is impotent if your love is not active. Am I communicating at all? Alright. Even your faith is impotent. You are walking in bitterness. You are not greeting people. Huh? Greet 10 people in church. God bless you. God bless you. Greet 10 people in church. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That is, there are people that you can't greet. Where are you going? Where do you think you are going? If that person is going to heaven and you are going to heaven, which heaven will you? They will give you a compartment. And give that person a compartment so that you don't jam in heaven. I can assure you there is a heaven you may go, but not the heaven where God is. It's where Satan is. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are people whose hearts are so bitter against other people, so hot. If you put cocoyam, it will cook. That was the love that brought Dorcas back to life. The same with Paul the Apostle. They stoned him, killed him, and pulled him out of the city and dragged him out of town. Acts chapter 14, verse 19 and 20. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul. You know, people in those days know how to stone people. Drew him out of the city, concluding that he has died. The conclusion is, draw this dead man out. Verse 20. And there, how be it, as the disciples stood round about him. They didn't say a word. No, they didn't say there was a prayer prayed. No comment made. They just surrounded him, saturated him with affection, saturated him with love. The love with which he loved them first, that he literally laid his life for their welfare, that love was returning back with affection, with goodwill. And he stood up. And what did he say when he stood up? Habit. And he rose up and came into the city. The same city they dragged him out as a dead man. He returned back there. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas. When they saw the dead man that they just killed and dragged out of the city, returned back on his feet, alive and normal. No emergency of a teaching hospital. No record of swollen face or anything. Arrived back normal. If you are the one, will you attempt to kill him a second time? When you see him coming, you will be running. It is his ghost, maybe. Love has power. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that you should make up your mind from this moment to be more love in motion, mobile love. Walk in love. Move in love. Live in love. Hallelujah. Amen. That girl was a victim of generational toxicity. Toxic climate. She was the top of the class. It didn't impress anybody. They wanted her dead. That one day they would put tire and burn her. She was a shadow of herself with a star brain. Until she came here and found love. The song we sang for them at the youth church, Ignite Youth Conference. And the next Ignite Youth Conference, I told you we should start planning for it already and probably put out the advertisement. Because many youths were so delivered. It was a song we sang in the late 70s, early 80s, in the Christian Fellowship in those days, where young men from different denominations came. I don't care what church you belong to. But here, we now say, I don't care what tribe you belong to. But as far as in Jesus you stand, if by grace, through faith, you have been saved, then you are my brother, give me your hand. Then you are my sister, give me your hand. I don't care your background. I don't care where you have come from. I don't care even what family you belong to. But as far as it is in Jesus Christ you are standing, and it is by grace through faith you have been saved, you are my brother, you give me your hand. So, people, we are shaking hands. Can I? All right. And he said, it went further and became a hug. For her, it changed her life. It changed her life. Changed everything. You cannot be jealous. They are the ones who didn't act on time. When I brought out my hand, they were just moping. Hallelujah. Amen. Get ready and practice that love from now. Let us come to the point where we stop focusing on ourselves alone. Begin to think of the welfare of others. See a depressed brother. Find out what is the challenge. That was how Joseph lived. He saw prisoners depressed. Why are you depressed? It changed their story. That was how Nehemiah lived. The wall of Jerusalem was broken down. He felt burdened. That concern changed his life. That was what changed David's life. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that to humiliate my people like this? Not when I'm alive. He moved at the risk of his life. Loving God and loving God's people. He changed his life. Love will change your life. Change my life. And change our world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The Jews, they love themselves so much. They are some of the richest people in the world. In America, they are wealthy. Because the Jews' resources is among themselves. They love themselves. Love themselves intently. So that a Jewish tailor is patronized by all the Jews. A Jewish barber is patronized by all the Jews. A Jewish mechanic is patronized by all of them. So their money revolves among themselves and then it multiplies among them. They are taught to love themselves. I want you to walk in love. This last point is not the least. Maybe it may be the number one. Because God is love. I don't care what tribe you belong to. But as long as in Jesus you stand, if by grace, through faith, you have been saved, you're my brother, so give me your hand. You're my sister, so give me your hand. I don't care what church do try. But as far as in Jesus you stand, if by grace, through faith, you have been saved, you're my brother, so give me your hand. You're my sister, so give me your hand.
So we are going to officially do it now. Can you stand up on your feet? Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. We have a division in our nation, along tribal lines, along all manner of ethnic lines. But in Christ, we are one.
I don't care what tribe you belong to. So shake the hands. And for those, you can go beyond, like the sister to the sister, the brother to the brother, or you and your mother, or you and your wife, something like that. Those who can go beyond, feel free. I don't care what tribe you belong to, but as far as in Jesus you stand, if by grace through faith you have been saved, you are my brother, so give me your hand. You are my brother, you are my sister. So I don't care what tribe you belong to, but as far by grace through faith you have been saved.
You're my brother.
Yeah. All of you standing in front here, you have not started though. You shook two people's hands and you just 30 people. Alright, so alright now. Okay. Do it around where you are. And while they are doing that, security, please be vigilant for Judas Iscariot, who is looking out for people's phones and iPads. Please bear that in mind. And anybody who steals anything right now, you steal all the affliction in this house, all the oppressions in this house, all the pain. I don't care what tribe you belong to, but as far as in Jesus you stand, if by grace through faith you have been saved, you are my brother,
so give me your hand. You're my sister, so give me your hand.
I don't care what tribe you belong to,
by
grace through faith you have been saved.
You're my brother. Say you're my sister.
I don't care what tribe you belong to, but as far as in Jesus you stand,
by grace
through faith you have been saved.
You're my brother,
so give me your hand.
You're my sister.
I don't care. What tribe you belong to?
But as far
as in Jesus you stand,
by grace
through faith, you have been saved.
You're my brother.
You're my sister.
But as far as
in Jesus you stand,
by grace
through faith you have been saved.
You're my sister.
I don't care what pride you belong to.
But as far as
in Jesus you stand, I'd like you to look for somebody that you don't normally greet very well. Not that there is any problem, but maybe it's not somebody you usually greet with. One person or two or three. So that any animosity can be broken finally. So that any middle wall of partition can be broken.
somebody you quarrel with before. Let this opportunity break the challenge now and start on a new. Are you ready? I give you 2 minutes.
I don't care what tribe you belong to, but as far as in Jesus is
concerned,
by grace you faith, you have been saved.
You are my brother.
You are my brother. So give me your hand.
You are my sister.
You are my sister. So give me.
I don't care.
Tribe you belong to,
but as far as
in Jesus is concerned.
His banner over us is love. He has brought us into his banqueting hall, and his banner over us is love. His banner over us is love. His banner over us is love. He's brought us into his banqueting hall, and his banner over us. Take one person by you, just one person like this. See, his banner over us is love. His banner over us is love. He's brought us his banqueting off, and his banner over us is love.
Seconds and begin to pray in the spirit that the love of God will flow effortlessly. You reject every spirit of bitterness, and the love of God will flow through you and flow through us and flow among us effortlessly. Open your mouth and say, Father,
Father,
I thank you
for the wisdom.
Of dwelling
in the secret place.
I receive
your grace
to walk in that wisdom. Say, Father,
I thank you
for the wisdom
of possessing
your wall
as a shield.
I receive that wisdom.
I thank you
for the wisdom of avoiding the wrong association. I receive that wisdom. I thank you for the wisdom of avoiding the wrong utterance. I receive that wisdom. I walk in that wisdom. I thank you for the wisdom of avoiding the trap of unrighteousness. I receive that wisdom. I thank you for the wisdom of paying attention to the leading and direction of
the Spirit, I receive that wisdom. I thank you for the wisdom of submission to prophetic covering. I receive that wisdom. I thank you for the wisdom of walking in love. I receive that wisdom today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, pray for the next 1 minute and 30 seconds. 1 minute, go ahead, pray.
Father, we give you the praise. Lift up your hands everywhere you are.
Anywhere you are tonight, I see something has just broken. Spells of depression just broke. Spirits of inferiority, spirits of low self-worth, rejection just broke. Worry and anxiety, fear of the future, fear of tomorrow just broke. In the name of Jesus, lift up your hands everywhere you are. Wherever you are tonight, you are in need of surrender to Jesus, forgiveness for your sins. You want today to mark a new day in your life. You want Jesus to be Lord over your life. Wherever you are, pray this prayer with me. And say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Jesus, and no turning back. From today I go forward ever and backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer, you meant it. Can I see your hand up? Wave your hand, let me see you. Quickly come forward. You're my light, my all. I live because of you. Cause you bought me with your blood. I'm yours and yours alone. You're my life, my life, my all.
I live because of you. Cause you bought me with your blood.
I'm yours.
While they come out, communion can take their position. While they come out,
you're the reason why I live.
I move and I'm moving.
Every day I see new mercies fall. You're the reason why I live.
I move and I'm moving. Keep coming.
Every day I see new mercies fall. You're the reason.
Coming out, you are here bound by an addiction of smoking, of drinking, of gambling, of masturbation, of lying, of cheating, of fraud, of bitterness, of forgiveness. There is a chain in your life you want broken. Pick your Bibles and pick your bags and quickly step forward here. Carry your Bibles, carry your bags and step forward here and let us receive you. Quickly, I'm tired of smoking. I'm tired of drinking. I'm tired of lying. Pornography, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of lesbian life or homosexual life, whatever it is. Quickly pick your Bibles and bags and quickly come forward here. Take the first song again. First verse. I count one.
You are my life, my love, my all.
I live because of you. One, two.
Cause you bought me. Cause you bought me with your blood.
I'm yours.
I'm yours. And yours. Two.
You are my life. My life, my own.
I live
because of you. Three.
Cause
you bought me with your blood.
I'm yours.
Oh. And
yours. You're the reason why I live.
I'm moving, I'm out.
Every day I see new mercies from you, Lord. You're the reason why I live.
I'm moving, I'm out.
Every day I see new mercies from you. You're the reason.
Place your hand on your chest, everyone here today, and pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you. No turning back. From today, I go forward ever and backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I now pray for you. I declare the hold of the enemy broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' name. Amen.